welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. I am delighted to be here, and I am thankful for you and for the ministry of this congregation. You please me so much, I can't tell you how proud and pleased I am to be your pastor. Thank you so much. I want us to greet one another with the peace of Christ before we begin our worship service. Pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Peace to you.
Peace. Peace be with you. When is tomorrow?
Well, good morning, Calvary. Everybody's just still visiting and passing around the peace of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful thing to be doing. Aren't you happy to be here to worship this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are happy that each one of you are here this morning. My name is Robin Stowers, and liturgist. I'll be your liturgist for the month of November, but I am also a lay servant. But anyway, and I just love to serve God. Okay. Welcome, everyone. If we have anyone here with us for the first time, we're really happy you're here and hope that you will return. And if you are a regular, well, we're just tickled pink that you're here today, too. Do not forget, do your due diligence with your prayer request, praise reports. If you have any comments or anything that you want to write, you can write it on the welcome cards. And don't forget, if you have been a blessing to someone outside the church this week, to please put in your salty service cards, okay? Okay, who saw the bread in the hallway and in the kitchen? Well, we have bread again. So this is from the food bank. There is bread in the kitchen and the hallway. If you need bread or know someone that would like to have some bread, please take some home with you today. Also, the food bank is asking for you to bring your unwanted coupons for food or baby products. They like to have those as well to give out at the food bank. If you have any questions, ask Larry Rude. And the items for W.E. Cherry this month are wide-ruled notebook paper, not the skinny stuff. They want wide. I know wide. And washable markers. Okay, so no Sharpies, because I don't think they're washable. Okay. Also, year-round, they do need socks and underwear and sweatpants and gym shorts for any accidents that might come around. Okay, well, Nancy Walker is not with us today, but Bill, will you stand up, please? He's the handsome gentleman in the back, and he will have the entertainment books that the church is selling for a fundraiser. He will have them after church, so if you need one, remember, they make great Christmas gifts. Almost, I think there's like 40-something days till Christmas. Anyway, see Bill at the end of the service, and he will gladly get you an entertainment book. Okay. Oh, I don't have a bulletin. Also, there are meetings that are taking place this week. Pastor Parrish and the worship committee meeting. And Friendship Club will be here at the church at 12 o'clock. No? Oh, Golden Corral. High noon, Golden Corral. It's Mark's birthday. That's where he's going for his birthday dinner. Okay. Friendship Club at Golden Corral. And also on Sunday, it is Pastor Robinson's bridal shower. And all the ladies of the church have been invited to attend, and we will be there. And what a good time. I asked her at the first service if it was a lingerie party, and I think she turned red. But anyway, so that's going to be a real fun time, and what a blessing. What a blessing for our pastor to find the man of her dreams. And also, the church council meeting is next Sunday at 6 o'clock. Everybody got that? Okay. Well, let us go to our worship elements. Yes, yes, Betty. Okay. Okay. Well, that is sad, but we have to do what we must do, correct? Yes, we do. Yes, Bob? That's a very good idea. Everybody hear that? If you've been, if you're the chairperson for next year, please come to the meeting this next Sunday. Okay, any more announcements? Okay, let us go to our worship elements. The floods may come, the droughts may last.
God's faithfulness endures forever.
Scarcity causes us to lock down in fear. Leaders will fall and fail us.
God's wisdom guides us into new life.
Come, worship God who is trustworthy and faithful.
Give honor, praise, and glory to God in this time of worship.
Amen. Amen.
If you would stand and turn in your hymnals to page 384.
Jesus, thou art God, the God.
turn to page 882, we'll have our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Oh, we got some more coming up. Good. That's great. I want to tell you about when I was a little girl. I used to be scared of the dark. Have any of you ever been scared of the dark before? Yeah, sometimes I was scared of the dark, even though I knew my parents were right there in the next room beside me. I still got nervous and was unsure of what was happening in the dark. Even though in my heart I knew I was surrounded by their love and their protection, I still needed something because my hands were empty. And so what I did was I got some stuffed animals from my mom and dad. They gave me some stuffed animals, and I used to line them up on the bed next to me and take them in my arms and squeeze them to me just like this, all the stuffed animals all at one time. And that helped me remember that my parents loved me, so that I didn't feel so alone and so scared. Now, in our Bible story about Ruth, they too feel nervous. These two women moved far away without husbands or sons. That God loves them and will take care of them, but their hands felt empty. And so the Lord sent them a Naomi can hold the hand. Second, there you go. Neighbor's hand, too. There we go. Our hands are no longer empty. And Ruth and Naomi had a family again. They were no longer alone. And it's the same thing for us. We know that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we know that God is with us, and he fills our hearts with love. But sometimes our hands feel empty. So God gives us a family. Our family at home, our family at church, in our neighborhoods and at school, so that we can hold on to each other. Isn't that a wonderful thing, that we can hold on to each other? And we can know God's love. We can experience the love of God when we hold hands and have a family who loves us. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for all our families and our hands to hold, that we may feel secure, that we may feel your love. Amen. Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome, Penny. You're welcome, Zachary. Worship God this morning with a presentation of our tithes and offerings. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we feel so blessed today to be surrounded by your love and by the family of God who all love you. And we pray your blessing upon us, not just as individuals, but as a church family, that we will continue to be your faithful disciples in all that we are, and all that we do, and all that we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you look on the front of your bulletin this morning, I don't think I've ever seen a better definition of a veteran, except for the end, up to and including his or her life. But nonetheless, that's exactly what a veteran does, is offers up their life for your freedom. And we should never, ever forget it. Tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. An American, well at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. I gladly stand up next to you, a defender still today. Well, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, Detroit down to Houston, from New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, And it's time we stand and sing
that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Remaining mindful that it is Veterans Day this week, I want us to join together in this responsive prayer for veterans. And at various points in the prayer, it's going to ask different groups of people to stand. And by the end of the prayer, everybody should be standing together as we remember our veterans who, as Andy said, make the ultimate sacrifice. So let us pray now together. God of love, peace, and justice, it is your will for the world that we may live together in peace. You have promised through the prophet Isaiah that one day the swords will be beaten into plowshares. Yet we live in a broken world, and there are times that war seems inevitable. Let us recognize with humility and sadness the tragic loss of life that comes in war. Even so, as we gather here free from persecution, we may give thanks for those that have served with courage and honor. Please rise now, those that are in our presence that are either in active duty or reserve duty, and the fathers, mothers, siblings, spouses, and grandparents of those that are currently serving. Will you stand? Let us respond together. God, we praise you for those that are willing to serve. Let all soldiers, Marines, sailors, airmen, and Coast Guardsmen serve with honor, pride, and compassion. Do not let their hearts be hardened by the actions they must take. Strengthen their families. Keep them surrounded in your love and peace. Please rise, those that are in our presence that have served in the military in the past. And let us respond together. God, we praise you for those that have served in the military. We thank you for those that put the welfare of others ahead of their own safety. Let us all be inspired by their self-sacrifice in service to those who needed protection. And now, please rise, those that are in our presence who have lost a loved one in war. And let us respond together. God, we praise you for those that have made the ultimate sacrifice. We ask that you comfort those that still feel the pain of their loss. Keep us mindful that you have promised to comfort those that mourn. And now please rise, those who have gathered in your name in safety because of the sacrifices of others. And let us respond together. God, we praise you for granting us these freedoms. Let us honor those who have served by working for peace. Let us never forget those that have served. And let us never let go of your promise of peace. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
you'd rise and turn your hymnals to page 399, we'll sing Take My Life and Let It Be.
Our scripture this morning is found in the 21st chapter of Luke, and it will be verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of the wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be a great earthquake, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all of this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. The living word of God for the people of God.
It's not an uncommon occurrence to see something like this in our media. After serving in Iraq, a young father battles unemployment as he and his wife fight to get a leg up in a tough economy. There's a popular African proverb that says, "When elephants fight, it is the grass that suffers." This proverb highlights the reality that too often while nations and powerful entities fight amongst themselves, it is the common people of the land who suffer the most. It is a historical truth that those who make the decision to wage war often have the least to lose. Sure, they may lose their prestige, position, or power, but in the end, their essential well-being and access to basic necessities are maintained. But the same cannot be said of many who are the instruments and casualties of war and political conflict. In the United States, a large number of veterans who fought in wars at the command of the political elite have returned home from the battlefield to a life of impoverishment and fickle social services. Consider these statistics from the Center for American Progress. Veterans are disproportionately homeless. Nearly 1 in 7 homeless adults are veterans as of December 2011. More than 67,000 homeless veterans were counted on a given night in January in America last year. More than 4 in 10 homeless veterans were found unsheltered. 1.5 million veterans are at risk of homelessness due to poverty, lack of support networks, and dismal living conditions in overcrowded or substandard housing. Many veterans have trouble finding good jobs. 30.2% of veterans aged 18 to 24 were unemployed, according to the 2011 Bureau of Labor Statistics. And according to the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, a survey recently showed that more than one-third of employers are unaware of protections they must provide service members. And more than half spent less than 2% of their recruitment budget on military advertising and/or did not understand the qualifications of military service. In that same survey, over half of all veterans were unsure how to professionally network. And nearly 3 in 4 felt unprepared to negotiate salary and benefits and or unable to effectively translate military skills to civilian life. Given these statistics, it's hard not to conclude that many of the country's most brave and courageous men and women have been shortchanged and done a shameful disservice. Instead of being cared for as honored citizens, they have been funneled into the country's growing impoverished and working poor masses that are forced to take jobs with long hours, very low pay, and little opportunity for advancement. It is an American tragedy that many of those who have fought to protect the power and prosperity of our nation are rewarded with a life that affords them very little access to either. This raises the question, what does our faith say to those who find themselves in a predicament of suffering caused by powerful forces beyond themselves? And what tools do the disinherited and disenfranchised of society have at their disposal to endure harsh realities of injustice and inequality? How long will the suffering last? And does God care? In Luke 21, 5 through 19, which Robin shared for us, we find Jesus having a conversation with his disciples that may help us answer some of these questions. The chapter begins with Jesus commending the sacrificial offering of the poor widow, if you remember, at the temple, and declaring then that the opulence, the lavishness of the Jewish temple will one day be destroyed. Jesus further tells his followers that temple's destruction will take place as a result of the crisis between Rome and Judea. In light of this pronouncement, Jesus vividly offers warning signs to his followers so that they might be aware and ready when the time comes. He says, "When you hear of wars, frightened. These things must happen first, come right away. Nation will rise and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors. And all on account of my name. But make up your mind not to worry yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that will to resist. You will be betrayed and sisters and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm. And you will win life." It's easy, I think, to read these words and miss the fact that the events which are being described will make life quite difficult for the everyday people whose names are not mentioned. The fact is, many people will suffer greatly as a result of religious and socio-political conflict that is beyond their control. Jesus' disciples, like the many veterans and working poor of our time, will be the victims of events that are seemingly unavoidable and a part of the unfolding of time. Yet Jesus says, those who suffer are not without hope. He says, if they endure and stand firm, their life will be preserved. In effect, Jesus says to his followers, though you will face events that are beyond your control, put your faith in a God that is in control. I imagine the disciples were both comforted and concerned by Jesus' words, finding the courage to remain strong despite the looming threat of distress and despair is no small feat. Nonetheless, Jesus is correct that the most viable option for people that suffer like the grass under the feet of the fighting elephants is to stand firm, to find a way to endure. But it must also be said that it would be wise not simply just to stand, but to fight in the hope that one day our world will be more equitable, just, and peaceable than it is today. Amen and amen.
Please stand and turn to page 557 in your hymnals. We'll sing, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds."
will be closed on Veterans Day, and I hope you will find a way in which to celebrate and memorialize and give tribute to all those who have served in our armed forces. Because it is true that large nations and political forces fight amongst themselves, and it is you and I and the little people who suffer. And so we need to support one another. We need to give each other hope. We need to stand firm in the face of bigger forces than us and fight for what is good and true and beautiful, including fighting for peace. May the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of our Creator, God, and Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you. Go in His peace and pray for peace. Amen.
Amen.
Exalted.